When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's almost the most wonderful time of the year. We hurtle headlong toward Halloween, and the news just continues to grow stranger and stranger. Like the old way we're talking about... The best excuse pre-COVID to get out of any social obligation is just to respond, I can't make it, I've become strange. That's what's happening with the news. So much so, in fact, that we decided we would do something a little bit different this evening. For this week's Strange News segment, we're going to start with some updates, just some mentions of things that have happened that we've had our eye on, that you have doubtlessly heard a little bit about. We're going to explore AI lawsuits, Tom Hanks, America's cool stepdad, finally got mad about something. We're going to see that Arizona has also canceled that incredibly controversial Saudi Arabian water extraction project. There's a serial killer in Thailand, the QAnon queens moving into real estate. That Kansas newspaper that got raided has some more updates, but maybe, you know, space junk. Always, but maybe we start with an update on the murder of Tupac Shakur.
Sure. As we're recording today on October 4th, last Friday, the state of Nevada, they had a grand jury who officially indicted a person in the murder of Tupac. It's incredible.
It's incredible, too, because, you know, I remember this from my childhood. You know, this story was obviously huge, but I had completely forgotten that it took place outside the MGM Grand on the Vegas Strip, where we all recently were. And it was obviously a huge deal to anyone that was, you know, living there, playing there, going to college there at the time. I can't imagine.
And the person who was indicted officially, his name is Dwayne Davis. He's 60 years old. He's also known as Keith D. And he's been indicted with one count of murder with a deadly weapon. And I guess the story here makes me wonder why it took so long to have some kind of action. Because allegedly there was footage of the interior of the casino where Tupac was involved, as well as a bunch of other people, involved in an altercation with this person they've arrested's nephew. And that is supposedly the reason that Tupac was shot in the first place.
But Davis is not the trigger man.
No, he's just the last like the, person alive.
He's like the producer of the assassination.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if we learned anything from our What Casinos Don't Want You to Know episode, it's that these places, even back in the day, you know, next level surveillance. Mm-hmm. So to your point, Matt, you got to wonder why this didn't come to light sooner, given all of that, you know, footage that must exist.
Yeah, it had a lot to do with the book that was published not long ago that gave some insight into what happened, basically. Yeah,
questions still remain regarding the specifics, and that point about the timeline, I think, is a big question. And one of the instructive things about this, or illustrative things, is that it helps us realize that these cases don't stop just because they're not immediately in a 4-minute news burst every day or every week. And I want to shout out again some of those excellent letters we got from members of law enforcement. There was that one fantastic point that people kept iterating, which is it's not necessarily that celebrities get more law enforcement work done on their cases. It's that the public does a lot of stuff and sometimes finds things that would ordinarily not be found.
Yeah, very, very true. You got a couple quotes here from a BBC News article that was written titled Tupac Shakur, Dwayne Davis charged with the 1996 murder of rapper. And down here, we've got some quotations from people like Greg Kading, I think is how you would say it. He's a retired LAPD detective who worked on this case for years and years and years. He told the AP he's not surprised about Mr. Davis's arrest, quote, and this is what I was kind of referring to here, quote, all the other direct conspirators or participants are all dead. And he said Mr. Davis was literally, quote, the last man standing in the case to be charged. So it is, in a way, almost a ceremonial charging, even though they also say there's a prosecutor named Mark Dia Giacomo, which is a really interesting name. They said that this guy was basically a leader of a gang called the Southside Compton Crips, and he was basically, or he's being described at least, as a commander. The person, as you said, Ben, orchestrated the thing, put the hit out on Tupac as a direct result of the altercation in the casino.
Oh, okay. So there was, obviously a lot of conjecture was that this was related to blood feuds between East Coast and West Coast, you know, scenes. And obviously the notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls was also killed. And this sort of runs counter to that. It seems like, you know, Tupac, who is a West Coast rapper, was taken out by West Coast gang.
Yeah, it certainly does seem that way. And again, because of some whatever the altercation was about, I haven't read enough to like be able to speak on why they fought in the casino that day. But it seems like something small like that. I don't know. It's tough to imagine that it can lead to the death of someone as popular and well-known as Tupac.
I don't know, man. It feels like those deaths do arise with small things when egos come into play. And oftentimes people who make a big deal about demanding respect are crazy reluctant to give it in return. So very small things can escalate very quickly when people feel that they're they have somehow been disrespected or not treated well, even if they're not treating the other people well. So as you said, questions remain. More will probably come to light. To shift to, or pivot, as corporate America says, to something that might be a bit of a good strange news update. Remember Fondo Mate, that Saudi Arabian company that came to Arizona and started stealing all the water?
How could I forget?
The alfalfa. Yeah.
It's all we talk about, right? They've been accused of water resource extraction because they had a 640-acre lease in a place called Butler Valley. And just recently, perhaps due to public pressure, the government of Arizona said they're going to terminate that lease. They're essentially going to kick this Saudi Arabian company out. And the big question is, does that set a precedent? Should that be a thing that governments can do? Like, we've also been getting a lot of letters about, foreign-based proxies for different countries buying up land here in the United States or in other parts of the world. What do you guys think? Should a government be able to do that to say, like, get out?
Yeah, if you've got a precious resource like waters and aquifers below land, and some other country comes in and buys hundreds of acres, I mean, and they're accessing that water and then taking it out of the state, out of even the country, maybe. Yeah, I think you should be able to say, no, stop.
I
mean,
and I think a part of the conversation we had about this recently in terms of, like, does it go both ways? You know, like, where it seems like the U.S. is more prone, maybe because of capitalism or whatever, to allow these types of deals to go down, whereas other countries are a little bit more nationalistic about that kind of thing. Maybe there are isolated cases in other countries that I'm not aware of, but that certainly seemed to be the takeaway from our conversation, that it's a lot easier for big foreign interests to do that here than it is, you know, the other way around.
Mm-hmm. And there's a global aspect to it as well. When we talk about resource extraction, if a country like the U.S. can do this, and, you know, personally, I agree, I think that's a smart move long term, then shouldn't other less developed countries be afforded the same rights? Shouldn't the countries on the African continent be able to just say get out without all of a sudden having a coup? Shout out Wagner, shout out U.S. trained militaries. I don't know. I think it's going to become more of a pressing issue. You know, to your point, Noel, about our earlier conversation, it's going to become more of a pressing issue as global events become more chaotic and as resources become more precious. I also looked into the desalination science that we talked about previously, and it's a hard problem. I don't think there's a way to make it cheaper. Further, I don't know about you guys. I want to sound nihilistic, but I don't know whether humanity could responsibly use cheap desalination technology without also destroying the ocean.
Is the issue, my understanding has been that it just requires a lot of power, a massive power source. So it's almost like the, you know, six, one half dozen, the other, you've got the thing, but you're also, you know, expending insane amounts of other resources to make the thing happen. And you have to question whether the trade-off is actually worth it or not at scale.
Yeah. And then you would use fossil fuel. So you increase fossil fuel dependence. So you might be helping in one way while you're hurting in another.
Guys, we've talked about Davos before, and recently there's been a video circulating of a 2019 talk that somebody named Rutger Bregman gave, where he discussed, hey, we're over here talking about all of these initiatives to help the climate, all these philanthropy initiatives, all this stuff, but we're not talking about taxes. Nobody's talking about taxes. And everybody here flew in on their private jets, you know, as heads of these major corporations, but nobody wants to talk about actually paying the correct tax price so that state governments and countries have the amount of operating funding to do things like build a desalination plant or 100 and not have to worry about that it costs a lot because it's being funded by the companies that operate in these areas. I don't know.
You know, it's kind of funny, not just sort of similar, maybe a good thing that Coldplay has done. They did this whole initiative with their most recent tour where they made a pledge to reduce the emissions of this giant touring organization. And I think the takeaway was that they did okay, that it wasn't exactly what they wanted, but I think they even went as far as to say they're not going to tour again in the near future because they found it too difficult to make as big of an impact as they wanted to. And it's an interesting point. You've got these billionaires going to Davos, presumably an event that's a summit that's meant to better the world, but yet you've got these folks just expending massive amounts of resources for very personal reasons. It doesn't quite line up with the stated goals, you know?
And good on Coldplay for doing that. And to be honest, surely there are many other people who would want to emulate that action or that intention. But the truth of the matter is Coldplay is a massive commercial success. So they kind of have the privilege of saying, we're not going to tour until we figure out a way that we are comfortable doing it. So, but good on them, I think. That's really cool. And so with that, Coldplay has earned the highly prized and extremely rare Stuff They Don't Want You to Know stamp of approval.
Medal of Freedom.
the Medal of Conspiratorial Freedom. Yeah, yeah. And we're going to take a moment of reflection on our pals at Coldplay. While we do that, let's go to an ad break. We're going to return with a fascinating update from our neighbors to the north. No spoilers, but it's a doozy.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with another something in the way of an update. It's been a little while since Romana Didulo has been in the news. Y'all may remember from Strange News's past. There is a couple of interesting stories. This is a person of Filipino origin who is a Canadian. Who made a lot of noise as a kind of real figurehead in the QAnon movement, which itself has sort of not been as much in the news lately. But that doesn't mean that's not still, you know, top of mind for a lot of folks. And this Didulo, who's known as the QAnon Queen, tried to declare herself the official Queen of Canada, the true Queen of Canada, is a big fan of commandeering stuff. I believe one of the past stories involved a bus or a van of some kind that she used and never returned. I believe it was a rental van that just was like, no, it's mine now. I'm the QAnon queen. You can't touch me. Can't quite remember where that one shook out. But apparently she's still up to her old shenanigans again now, in the form of taking control, or I guess you could say squatting with some of her followers in an abandoned school in a rural part of Saskatchewan. Just a couple of weeks ago, or a little less than a couple of weeks ago, Romana Didulo, the QAnon queen, came to Richmond, M-O-U-N-D. I don't know. I think it's probably just pronounced Richmond, Saskatchewan, rolled into town with some of her followers in a convoy. Again, like previously, I think, you know, case in point with the whole stolen minivan situation, like it's sort of like Road Warrior type stuff. Seems like they're like this nomadic kind of sect, I guess, of this QAnon, let's just be real, cult.
Because they keep getting kicked out of places, right?
They keep getting kicked out of places, so probably best to stay on the move. But now old Romano has decided to settle down in this abandoned school that has sat empty for quite some time. I want to say almost 10 years, 11 years, the school has been closed. And now these, you know, folks have kind of taken up residence there. And Brad Miller, who is the mayor of Richmond, told Vice News in an article by Mac Limero, which was what I used for research on this story, which also has some great outbound links, had this to say about the incident. I guess the ongoing, it's, I don't know, it's starting to feel like almost like an Amon Bundy thing. Like it could go there. It feels nice like reference. It could go that direction, or like a David Koresh kind of thing. Again, we haven't seen violence directly out of this group, but people are a little freaked out. This is what Brad Miller, the mayor of Richmond, had to say to Vice News. The families are afraid to let their kids go to the park, which I totally agree with. I asked a kid the other day what he thought about this, and he said, "I'm not going to play there. Too scary when you see the lights on at the school." So I guess on the one hand, it's creepy because it's been abandoned for so long, and now all of a sudden there's something going on there, and the kids know that it's not, quote unquote, legitimate. It's not a proper school, and there are these kind of, I guess, rebel type forces, these sort of like, I don't know, separatist individuals not associated with the town, not associated with the government, just kind of hanging out there. Apparently they're like posted up on the roof of the school, like surveilling the townsfolk with, you know, video cameras and stuff, or their phones or whatever. But yeah, it's super, super weird.
It's a dying town, right?
I do believe that's right. Yeah, I didn't get into too much background about the town itself, but I do believe you're correct, Ben. This, you know, QAnon or Dedulo rather is entirely funded, you know, by this group of her followers. She is very well known for asking for money all the time, you know, on social media. There was a thing where she was like had some sort of private Telegram channel or something where it was just for communication directly with her followers. And I believe in some of the past stories, there were some screenshots about that. And she likes to do videos and it's just, you know, pretty radical. Not like in a Ninja Turtles kind of way. It's very strange. And I could see how this would feel a little intimidating, you know, for the kids, not to mention, you know, and their parents and the government. And it sure seems like they don't quite know what to do about it.
Well, I'm really confused because who owns the building? Who owns the property that the school is on? I'm assuming that was a county school, right? At some point?
The municipality. But there's the reason I'm asking about dying town too, is because I suspect the school has been closed down despite being county property, because there is a lack of teachers, which is a problem that rural Canada as well as Alaska have been struggling with for years. So there's legal action. I don't know what squatters' rights are like in Canada, but if they're anything like Europe or some parts of the US, then you have to have an established presence for X amount of years or something. So surely they have, like, the schools close before the law enforcement places close when a town is depopulating. So surely there could be someone who can roll up there and say, "You don't own this."
I think, right? Only around 200 citizens in this town, which is ghost town material. This
and the population's been declining too.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, this fear, this unease is not without reason. Like, we know a lot of folks in this kind of movement tend to do is issue sort of thinly veiled threats, you know, using terms like the lamestream media and all of this stuff. And in videos that DiDulo and some of her close followers, there was actually a 9-hour live stream that was specifically for the benefit of the locals. I think this was in response to a rally that was held by the locals to try to get them out of there.
Yeah, what was the protest sign? Please leave our town and let our children come out and play.
That's so polite. That's so Canadian. I do love that.
I love the please.
DiDulo and her followers made a sign of their own. They made a kind of a makeshift cardboard billboard that had a list of reasons that the locals should start following her, should join up. You know, I mean, she's looking to exploit all of the things that we're talking about, this sort of dying town, maybe some desperation, you know, felt by the locals. And also, you know, again, lamestream media saying this town has fallen victim to the lamestream media and all this stuff, attacking reporters, including Vice News, you know, who have actually, I believe most of the stories in the past were from Vice News, who have covered, you know, DiDulo and her kind of followers in the past. So, yeah, there's, let's see, one of the second in command, I believe, someone known as Darlene Andy said in the live stream, these village folks bought into the lie after lie after lie by the paid for, bought, sold journalists and mainstream media infiltrators and traitors. It's time to grow up, y'all.
I like the wordplay.
Yeah. I still don't understand, because everything feels so passive aggressive to me, like with standing in front of the property and being like, no, go away. And then them standing up or taking a trip into town saying, I'm going to film you local people and we're watching you.
That's classic cult behavior.
But what, like, the heck, man?
Like, reminds me of Wild Country, but yeah,
absolutely.
What the heck? Why not just send in the stormtroopers?
Well, a sheriff that says, hey, you have the papers for living here? Do you own this property? No. Oh, you don't. Oh, you're paying an electric bill. That's where the squatter's rights could be a problem, because there is electricity in the building.
So, no running water or other amenities, to my understanding.
But again, even if you're in a small dying town, I guarantee you can get help from the state level. Like, you could, I bet there's a marshal or some kind of service that would help out a small town in need.
I guess a lot of people are spooked by this whole Koresh idea, this whole Eamon Bundy idea. Like, if you start to bring in the heavies, who knows if these folks are armed? There isn't any mention of that, but it's hard to know. They did roll out a wire, like, that sort of was their, like, line of demarcation, like almost like challenging the townsfolk to cross it, this wire, which is very close to this park that's being referenced. And, you know, according to Vice and some of the great research they've done or reporting they've done, in speaking to former members of this cult, it's a very abusive situation, traveling very like caravan style, like, you know, kind of like this nomadic culture, a lot of, you know, classic cult behavior, emotional and verbal abuse, othering, cutting people off from their families, trying to turn people against each other, all of that stuff. And, you know, it would seem all of this at the behest of DiDulo, who, you know, like many cult leaders, is operating at their own whims. You know, and much to the downfall of those that choose to follow them. You know, it's pretty scary stuff.
I like the idea
isolated.
I like the idea of a protest barbecue, though. Shout out to the mayor. That's in the Vice article you linked. And again, you know, to the questions that we're asking, which I think are very reasonable questions, we have to remember, as you said, it's not quite been 2 weeks, right? Or it's been like, I think this news article was from last week in Vice, maybe like 5 days ago or something. So it feels like it's almost certain that the local county forces, the mayor, the municipality, and so on, have put out the call, right, for some support. So I imagine that this is an unsustainable situation. There will come a time when they leave or are forced to leave. That is a precedent that this group has set, and it might be portrayed as a vision on behalf of the leader. Right.
That wouldn't surprise me. And there's an image on the Vice article of this protest. And There's like 15 people, you know? I mean, I don't know exactly how many people are in DiDulo's coterie. I wouldn't be surprised if it was more than that, but it's not quite clear. I do remember something's coming back to mind that you guys will probably remember too, is one of the calls that DiDulo made in some of her videos was for people to not pay their mortgages and to stop paying their bills because she's the queen of Canada and basically has, you know, unilateral power to say you don't have to do that anymore. And that resulted in a lot of folks believing this and having their power shut off, some even losing their homes. And there is, you know, again, this is from the Vice article, and I think very important to end with is that within a lot of this rhetoric, there's kind of this like veiled threat of violence to anyone that might oppose her and to anyone who might defect from her. So there you go. It's a weird one. It's kind of gives me the willies. I don't know about y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you say we take a quick break and hear another word from our sponsor and then come back with a bit more strange news?
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned. We've got some more updates, more strange news. But we were talking a little bit off air during the break. Hope you had a good one. About what we wanted to start with, we need to give you an update about that Kansas newspaper that got raided due to a small town Facebook drama with a restaurant owner. And people were lying about different charges, and it got very messy very quickly. Check out our strange news on that. The update that we were talking about earlier this week is the police chief there, Gideon Cody, has been suspended by the mayor. This all dates back to the August 11th, probably illegal searches of the newspaper, the Marion County Record, and the private home of its publisher. So something
what was
worked
the
out?
Issue in the first place that or the allegations that maybe were circulating as to why he did this? It's been a minute. I kind of don't remember.
Allegedly, the paper accessed personal records, right? Illegally, mm-hmm. probably through like the white pages or something,
yeah.
which is not illegal. And then and said some disparaging things about this local restaurant owner. The restaurant owner kind of pulled strings, but had sway, had influence, maybe?
Yeah, pushed.
They had some juice, some suction, as mm-hmm. I believe you said last week.
yeah.
What's that from The Wire? Yeah,
yes. suction. Yeah. So it looks again like the small town corruption that is unfortunately not uncommon, not just in the United States, but across the world. And this time it's interesting because the mayor originally said he would wait for the results from a state level police investigation. And now he has perhaps read the room and said, okay, well, we're going to suspend you because he doesn't want to be on the wrong side of this.
And then last Saturday, as we're recording this on October 4th, the police chief who was suspended decided to resign and made basically, I guess, send internal communications to the mayor. And then the mayor made the announcement.
Well, you have to learn how to read the room real quick. Good job.
Mm-hmm. You can't fire me. I quit. Classic words from a real winner. I said it. So we've got other things here that we wanted to get to. One that is a nice compliment to our space race episode, which came out recently. We talked a little bit about space junk in that episode. We have to talk about space junk whenever we mention near Earth orbit, because you guys, if the galaxy is a suburb and the solar system is like a little cul-de-sac street, we are in the crappy house. We're in the trashy one. We got shit all over the yard.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But don't worry. The FCC is coming in with the cleanup crew. They're the federal cleanup crew. That's what the FCC stands for now. So guess what?
What?
They just issued their first ever fine for space debris issues, I guess. Seriously, there's an article from BBC News. You could read it. It was posted October 3rd, titled "U.S. Issues First Ever Fine for Space Junk to Dish Network." Ooh,
Dish Network's like the FCC won't let me be. Or let me be.
I was thinking the same thing. Well done. Wait, is Dish Network still a thing? Like,
yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I'm just out of the loop. I'm out of the loop.
I had Dish Network back in the day, and as long as the weather was right, you could see some amazing things.
There's still a dish on the house that I recently got. It's sitting out there. I haven't taken a wrench to it yet to take it down. But
get NHK, man. NHK is the best public television on the planet.
New Hampshire.
I wish. It's Japan's, like, it's Japan's PBS, basically.
I'm silly. I don't want to. Does it have any of the game shows on it?
I hope so.
Yes, it has. Anytime I'm there, it is just, it's hypnotic because, you know, we're not to date ourselves, folks, but all four of us on the show this evening, and probably you listening along at home, are old enough to remember local public access TV and how nuts and hypnotic that was.
Oh, yeah.
NHK is like that on a professional level, and they do have what I think are games. Sometimes I don't understand it.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
The rules are always a little amorphous, I think, maybe to a foreign audience. So is this a thing, though? Are you serious, Ben? Like, if you have, can you get satellite dish access through Dish Network to, like, programming from other countries?
You need an uplink. Got to get the satellite uplink.
Well, you can. Yeah,
there's access different. Denied is what the FCC says, bro.
Yeah, there are different ways to act. First off, as you know, folks, we are huge proponents of accessing media sources that are not from the West. It is incredibly important to do so. For instance, the Al Jazeera you see here in the United States, it's not the Al Jazeera other parts of the world see. It's an important distinction. But as for Dish Network, for your question, Noel, I think it goes to the big question for Matt. Is Dish Network going to be able to afford to be a company anymore after this egregious fine?
Dude, they're going down so hard for this. I'm going to give you the stats here. The FCC fined Dish Network a whopping $150,000 for
million,
$1,000 for failing to move an old EchoStar 7 satellite far enough away from other satellites that are in use. This is important. This satellite was launched in 2002, the year in which
I graduated high school.
This guy graduated high school too. So for 20 years, it was kind of doing its thing, but the plan was for Dish Network to move that satellite 186 miles further from Earth. Mm-hmm. But they were only able to move it 76 miles over the course of 20 years, which means it is seriously in danger of impacting other satellites, and it is no longer in use. So it's just a dead sat. It's not dead, but it's essentially
a kinetic impact. Wait, it's a bullet waiting to hit a target,
but not
dead
just a
malls
bullet
of space. Y'all. Jeez.
Like, I want to give you this for context. This is a quote from the head of NASA, Bill Nelson, when we're talking about space debris and how big of a problem it is. He says, quote, "Even a paint chip, guys, a paint chip coming in the wrong direction at orbital speed, which is 17,500 miles per hour, could hit an astronaut doing a spacewalk and it could be fatal." So now imagine a satellite. It doesn't matter how big the satellite is. It's got components. It's got metal. If it hits another piece of metal going that fast, it does what you were talking about on the episode we just did, Ben. That shrapnel begets more shrapnel, right?
Yes. Just like in a horror film, the problem with fighting zombies is that everybody on your side who is bitten becomes a zombie themselves. So every time this, think of them as bullets, every time one of the bullets out there in space hits another one, it's like a gun that turns targets into other guns.
But thousands, if not hundreds of thousands more yes. guns.
I'm yeah. picturing like a Final Destination in space scenario with that paint chip situation, just like ripping through the astronaut's, you know, head in elaborate 3D gore effects. I have to ask though, Matt, this $150,000 fine, laughable considering what we're going to get to, I think, when we close about how much money this company is worth. Surely moving the satellite or, you know, getting it back to Earth, which seems out of the question, would cost way more than $150,000.
Yeah, it's a satellite that lost it. It has no more fuel, so it cannot move itself. So you would have to send a mission up to latch onto it in some way and move it physically.
That's millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
It's one satellite, Michael. How much could it cost?
And well, this, yeah.
yeah. I mean, this is going to be something we return to. If you haven't checked out our Space Race episode, please do. And please check out our earlier episode from a few years back on the militarization of space. Because just to be very clear, beep me here, Doc, it is going to f-ing happen. It is going to happen. There is there are no great precedents for us to look at in this case, but every kind of precedent we have shows us that this is going to happen.
Oh, 100%. Oh my gosh. Well, and just if we can get things past the space debris field, because there are an estimated 10,000 satellites going around, whipping around above us right now, going 17,000 something miles per hour, and only about half of them are active, are actually communicating and doing their thing. So about 5,000 are just rocks.
Space
metal. Space ghosts. I love
space
that.
Trash.
Okay, so how do we think the FCC will be able to prevent this kind of thing from happening in the future, which it is kind of a science problem more than a policy mm-hmm. problem when it comes to a satellite losing its fuel?
It's going to take multiple people.
I think
it's
so.
Multiple entities, yeah.
But if the FCC can slap a $150,000 fine on a big company, maybe it'll catch on. Because, you know, Dish Network last year only made $16.7 billion. So, like, gosh, $150,000 on that amount is really going to hurt. That's about 0.0089%.
They're going to lose their minds in the boardroom. But this is a developing story. We are going to inevitably return to this. We'd love to hear what you think about space fines. I love adding the word space to the front of stuff. It's the best thing.
It's fun. But okay, silver lining-ish, though. It's something, right? It's putting it in the news.
Yes. Great.
I wouldn't have known the Dish Network even still existed. Again, I'm out of the loop. But, I mean, a lot of times, like you said, these things are sort of ceremonial finds, and it sort of hopefully causes some policy change or causes folks to not want to have bad publicity. Maybe. I don't necessarily know, but...
That's if you read the articles that are floating around, that's what people are hoping is the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. It gets press and people will notice.
Yeah. And then in addition, now, because so much of jurisprudence is based on past rulings, now there is a way to point to something in the past and say, remember, we proved this is a no-no. So how much money does your company make? Okay, well, you guys owe us 0.00000 whatever percent of that.
Mm-hmm.
Go forth and be good, right?
Yeah.
Assume evil.
Yeah, right.
Whatever you do.
Yeah. Speaking of things, to your point, Noel, that don't get in the news, I'd like to take just a little bit of time and tell you guys about a very disturbing true crime situation. May not be appropriate for all listeners, but I haven't seen a ton about this reported in a lot of Western news. According to the government of Thailand, they have just caught and convicted the most prolific serial killer in the country's modern history. This is a spooky story. It's a story of a female serial killer, Sarawat Rongsiwithapon, and pardon, not native Thai speakers. But what you need to know is her street name is Om. She is being called Om Cyanide because over the course of several years, she routinely used poison to mimic heart attacks in her victims. She's killed at least 14 people in 8 different provinces. Think of like states of Thailand. And she did it by mixing cyanide into their food.
Wow.
Woof.
Why? Like, would she have a motive? Was she I don't know. Yeah. Well, why?
Gambling debts, apparently, people to whom she owed money or people that she was attempting to defraud. Similar to like how H.H. Holmes, who gets romanticized, let's be frank, the U.S. romanticizes serial murders. H.H. Holmes was killing people partially because he got off on it, but partially because of this huge financial incentive. So apparently Om had an issue with gambling and would get deep into gambling and then would reach out to people in her circle that she had befriended somehow and then invite them to dinner.
That's so crazy.
How do you get away with that from... So this entity was operating from at least 2015 to 2023. You can see reports about her. You can see the photographs of this person, mugshot, and so on. Looks like any other person, because that's how serial killers operate. I'm just startled that you could get away with this using the same MO for this long.
And she hasn't changed her name or anything, right? It's still her name, but I bet she's got aliases.
Does this speak to the structure of detective work or crime prevention in the country? I don't know. I'm wondering to your question, like what why would it take this long? Was this person just careful enough? Were these autopsies reflective of heart failure? Was this missed? I'm a little confused.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, we're not forensic experts. We have some fellow conspiracy realists who are in that field or are in that industry. So that's a question for you all. Maybe you can help us out here. How difficult is it to prove that cyanide was the cause of death? Is it one of those things where it's rare enough that if you weren't looking for it, you would miss it? It seems like she was doping them with a lot of cyanide too, the kind of stuff that would leave physiological marks.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I don't know what that looks like physical marks from cyanide.
Apparently cyanide poisoning can affect the color of the body, certain extremities or something. I don't know how much cyanide you have to give people. On a positive note, since we're attempting to be positive in this evening's strange news, the government of Thailand has said they're gonna tighten some of the restrictions on cyanide.
Oh, that's good.
Right on.
They're like, RB, you know. This person has multiple charges. She is being compared by authorities to Jack the Ripper. She is considered Thailand's first female serial killer, as well as by far the most prolific. She said that she did not commit murder at this point, but she said that she did probably give people cyanide.
Jeez.
So we don't know. There was one survivor who will come to trial or participate in the legal proceedings, but I'm startled. Like, couldn't you do a blood test to find cyanide, right? If it was enough to kill someone?
Certainly it makes sense that it would have such a reputation as like a whodunit kind of murder weapon, you know? Mm-hmm.
And we know that the lethal dose for potassium cyanide is somewhere around ballpark 250 milligrams. And the exposure will result in death in less than 30 minutes. So it's fast acting as well. It's not one of those things where you slowly poison someone over a period of time. We do want to give a big shout out to the investigative forces in Thailand, because it can be very difficult to put these things together and to conclusively link each instance of a murder. That's tough business. That's real police work. Even in the age of social media, that can be very difficult.
And I certainly wasn't attempting to cast any aspersions on the police force of Thailand. It was just a question when I posed earlier about, like, how could this happen? And you guys, I think, have answered that, you know, especially in terms of, yeah, it very likely could have been mistaken for something else because of how quickly the substance moves through one's system. But to your point, Ben, the article on abc.net.au mentions that more than 900 witnesses were interviewed and more than 26,000 documents were examined and analyzed. So, yeah, very much kudos to the police force over there. This obviously was not an easy feat. I think it was, maybe you mentioned this, and forgive me, 14 bodies that were examined, and 7 of them they did find traces of cyanide somehow.
Because they knew what they were looking for. Now,
that must be, right? Yep. And so, maybe there are markers of it too, Matt. Like, it might be through your system, but maybe there are certain types of organ failure, certain types, you know, the extremities thing that you pointed out, Ben. Maybe there are markers that you can look for, even if the substance is no longer in the system. I'm just conjecturing here. There has to be something, right?
Mm-hmm. And with this, we'll keep an eye on this. This may become an episode in the future. Again, not appropriate for all listeners. But here's where we end. I thought this would be a cool little callback. Nice little bookend to the point about the Tupac murder and disastrous things leading to that appear to start kind of small. That's how they caught cyanide, because of a small thing. Her friend, a 32-year-old named Sirapon Konwong, apparently died of heart failure. It's tragic, but it happens. A lot of people die of heart attacks every year in any country. But because of unusual financial activities that they clocked upon the death of this person, that led them to Om. And then they started looking at other things related to her. So it was a chain of events that led to this killer being apprehended, because they were going to continue, obviously, I think, at this point.
Lot of last seen with, yes, situations, right? Yeah.
We would love to hear your thoughts on resource extraction. Why does it apply in some places, not in others? When are you going to hang out with the QAnon queen? Will we be able to get into Thailand after talking about the serial killer? How much should people pay for space junk? What's a fair price? Find us on social media. Give us a call. Definitely. Write to us. We'll tell you how to do all of that. right now.
Oh, but Ben, I'm on the edge of my seat. What made America's sweetheart uncle Tom Hanks get upset?
Oh, he was in a deep fake ad for dentistry without his consent. It's the harbinger of many more things to come.
Agreed. Let us know what your harbingers are of the things to come. You can get to us all over the internet. We exist at the handle Conspiracy Stuff Show on X, FKA Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. We're Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram and TikTok.
Hey, do you have a phone? Call 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. You've got 3 minutes. Give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your message and voice on the air. If you've got more to say than can fit in there, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are.
The folks who read every email we get at conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.